We're going to get to it tonight. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 15, and we're going to be talking about the occult. You remember we were talking about, over the past couple of weeks, we were looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And you remember last week we kind of laid a foundation by reminding you that while it is God's will that the fruit of His Spirit might be manifested in each of our lives. Remember, we saw the nine ways that fruit is manifested. And even though it's God's will that His Spirit's fruit might be manifested and seen in our lives, yet remember last week we said we got an enemy, right? And while so many times we're just playing church, we have an enemy who is deadly serious about conquering in our lives and causing us basically to become spiritually unfruitful. He doesn't want you to bear fruit in your life. He doesn't want you to have a life that's going to glorify God. And so because of that, we find ourselves literally, we are locked in a spiritual warfare. And that's what we're going to be looking at now for the next several weeks. But I want to begin tonight by talking to you about the occult. It is something that is growing by leaps and bounds, not only in my country, but around the world. People getting interested in the occult. And you hear a lot of talk about it. So tonight I want us to understand exactly what the occult is. We want to look at it from the Scripture. And I hope that you learn, if nothing else, just learn the title. It is dark. And it is dangerous, okay? Now, you remember the nation of Israel. If you remember your history from the Bible, you remember the nation of Israel, they wanted a king. And even though God had warned them of the many dangers that would be involved by having a human king to rule over them, you can find those dangers in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4 and 5, the nation of Israel persisted. And they just kept on. We want a king. We want a king. We want to be like all the other nations. Boy, doesn't that sound familiar? How many times do we hear people say, well, you know, all of my friends, why do we have to be so different? Why can't I be like them? Well, that's what Israel was doing. That's exactly what they were doing. And here's the thing. You need to be careful what you ask for. Because God might give it to you. He may just answer that prayer, see. So that's why we always need to be careful, as we've learned on Sunday in our study on prayer. We always need to pray according to the will of God, not according to our will. Because God just might give us what we want. And that's exactly what happened in the story of Israel. We want a king. We want a king. And God said, I'm your king. I set this nation up as a theocracy. It is God ruled. And yet they said, we don't want that. We want a king we can see. We want a king like all the other nations. And there came a day when God said, fine. I'll give it to you. And so you know the story. Saul was chosen. And you remember Saul was anointed by Samuel the prophet. And he became the king over the nation of Israel. But Saul, even though he was humble in the beginning, Saul was like many people today. He could handle failure far better than he could handle success. And when he became king, Saul began to be lifted up with pride. When he became affluent, he began to rebel against the Lord. And this is very clearly seen when we notice the events that are recorded here in the text that I want us to notice tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Notice a couple of things here just by way of introduction. Number one, notice God's command. God's command. In verse number 3, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. Anybody here can't understand what God just said? That is pretty clear, isn't it? Very simple, very straightforward. Slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Bottom line, that whole verse could be summed up with three words. Kill them all. Okay, that was it. That was God's command. And so God commanded very clearly that the Amaleks were to be totally, totally destroyed. Now I want you to notice the second thing. Notice Saul's disobedience. Verse number 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag, who was the king, and they spared Agag. That's not all. They also spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not. Now remember, God said, do this. But they would not. They would not utterly destroy them. And so after a while, the prophet Samuel comes on the scene. After this battle has been fought, and after they have disobeyed the command of God, the prophet Samuel comes. Notice number 3, Samuel's rebuke in verse number 19. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Basically, why have you disobeyed? What is your excuse? By the way, there's never a good excuse for disobeying God. Never a good excuse. And basically, that was his question. Why have you done this? Why have you done this? And notice Saul's defense. In verse 20, and then the end of verse 20, and part of verse number 21, we find Saul's defense. Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. But the people. That's a preacher's favorite prayer. But the people. Lord, I would have done right, but these people, you know. Well, that's what Saul did. See, that's what Saul did. And he tried to shift the blame from himself as the leader. And he said, these people, they're the reason. They're the reason. But of course, the Lord God would not accept Saul's lame excuses. He would not accept that. He would not accept such a self-defense. And in fact, you need to understand, he won't accept ours either. He won't accept ours either. And so as a result of his disobedience, the Bible says that God rejected Saul from being king. This was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back. And God rejected Saul from being king. And then we find the reason why. Notice in verse 23. Here's the reason why God rejected Saul. Samuel said, for rebellion. Rebellion. See, it's one thing when we sin and we don't really know we're sinning until later the Holy Spirit convicts us of it. That wasn't the problem with King Saul. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a uh-oh in his life. He knew what was right. He understood what was right. And yet he willfully chose to go against it. That, my friend, is rebellion. Now notice what it says. Rebellion is as the sin. In other words, it is exactly the same as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. In other words, I told you what to do. I told you what you shouldn't do. And you rebelled against it. You ignored it. You went ahead and did what you wanted to do. And because of that, God said, I've rejected you from being king. I'm not going to use you anymore. Now, going to use, see, it's possible for a young person to start out their life, boy, they have all kind of potential, have all kind of opportunity coming before them, and by rebellion, they can ruin the whole rest of their life as far as serving God is concerned. See, that's exactly what happened to Saul. God said, I'm not going to use you anymore. I have rejected you. I chose you, but now I've rejected you from being king. Verse 26, and here's the reason why. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. You know the verse, right? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Saul sowed rejection of God's word, and what did he reap? God rejected him. So you reap what you sow. Happened to Saul, it'll happen in our life as well. Now, sometime later, the armies of the Philistines came, and 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 5 to 7. In 1 Samuel 28, verse 5 to 7, the Bible says that Saul saw the host of the Philistines. Now remember now, he's king, but God has rejected him. God's no longer with him as he was before. And so Saul sees this army of the Philistines coming, and the Bible says that he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Boy, it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to try to play games with God. Because there may come a day when God will not answer you. No matter how diligently you seek Him, He won't answer. He won't answer. And so the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. And then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. There is one at Endor. Now, you understand, this was clearly another act of rebellion. See? This is another act of rebellion. Because God had clearly given in His law, in Leviticus 19:31, God clearly said, regard not them that have familiar spirits. Regard not them, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And yet Saul thumbed his nose at God's command. He rebelled against God's command. And he totally ignores this law that God had given. And he goes seeking after this woman who has a familiar spirit. He rebelled against God. And again, if we continually rebel against God, there's going to come a day when God will not respond to you. He's not going to respond to. He's not going to answer because we have rebelled. We have rejected Him, and so because of that, whether you're young or whether you're old, the message is the same. If God speaks to your heart, you obey right away. You obey right away. And so King Saul goes to this woman, and 1 Samuel 28, verse 13 to 14, they have what we would call today a seance. She calls up the spirit and calls Samuel up from the dead. And in verse number 19, Samuel then foretells to Saul what the future holds for him. How that Israel is going to be defeated by the Philistines. King Saul himself is going to be killed by the Philistines. And his sons are also going to be killed in this battle with the Philistines. And of course, the very next day, as you read the biblical record, the very next day, it all came to pass exactly as the prophet Samuel had said. Now, let me ask you about that. Is all that really true? I mean, can such a thing really happen? And the answer is yes. And we know it's true because it's in the Bible, but what about people today who go to fortune tellers and they seek wizards and all of this to try to find information about what the future is? They go to psychics and they go to all these people who have these so-called supernatural powers and all of that. Now I'll be honest with you, some of it is a hoax, okay? Some of it is a hoax. There are charlatans out there who who are looking to make easy money. And the reason why it's easy money is because there's always people who are gullible enough to follow them. Harry Houdini, the famous magician in America, made it part of his business when he wasn't doing magic on the stage. He would go around and he would literally go in and visit these so-called people who had contact with the other world, and he would expose them and show how that basically they were just doing magic tricks to fool people into thinking that they knew something about the future. And so, yeah, there are charlatans. There is a lot of this that is a hoax. We know that. We know that. But folks, that doesn't deny the fact that there are some out there who are literally plugged in to a supernatural power. There are some out there who are plugged into something. Now, they don't have the power to raise the dead. Only God can do that. In fact, if you'll read the story there, when that witch woman there in Endor, when Samuel actually came up out of the grave, there was nobody more surprised than she was. I mean, read the story. She was shocked when he showed up, you see, that God allowed that. He allowed that to happen. And this fact, this is the only case in all of the Bible where you find that God allowed a spirit of someone who had died to come back and to communicate with a person who was still living. But here's the thing. Even though these people are plugged in to this supernatural power, they cannot foresee the future. But here's what they can do. They can speak with the power of demons. They can speak with the power of demons. There are many who have claimed to communicate with the spirit of a departed loved one, you know. Oh, yeah, I went and saw this guy, and, you know, he did this kind of thing, or she did this kind of thing, and then he kind of went into this trance, and then he began to speak. His voice changed and began to tell me things about my mom or my dad and things that nobody could know. And you know what? That might be true. But you need to understand, demons know the things of the past. Now, they don't know the future, but they know the things of the past, and they can imitate so that you will be deceived, you see. We need to understand these things. Again, I don't doubt they communicated with spirits, but it wasn't the spirit of a departed loved one. It was a spirit from hell. That's who they were communicating with. Now, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about this spiritual warfare. And, of course, the warning, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And because of the fact that we are in this spiritual warfare, we're going to see how that God has challenged us in Ephesians 6, verse 10 to verse 19, to put on the whole armor of God. God has challenged us to 2 Timothy 2:3 to endure hardness, to endure persecution for our faith. 2 Timothy 2:4, he's encouraged and challenged us not to get all tangled up with the things of this world, but to be separated from all of that. And again, the sad thing is that while most Christians today are just playing church, give God his due every Sunday for an hour, don't expect any more than that now. I'm really busy, you know. And they give God his tip on Sunday, and the rest of the week, they fail to realize that Satan never takes a day off. He's full-time at it, seeking to destroy your life. Seeking to destroy your life. So as we begin this study, I want us to notice a couple of things. We're going to begin talking about the occult. I want you to give you a couple of things very quickly, and I know we're running out of time. But let me give you, number one, the definition of the occult. The definition of it. The word actually comes from the Latin. It's a Latin word, and it means to conceal. It means to hide from view. To conceal or to hide from view. And through the years, the word has basically evolved so that it means this. It means the practice of using secret, supernatural means to bring about superhuman results or obtain secret knowledge, especially about future events. Especially about future events. That's what we're talking about when we talk about the occult. Now I want you to notice number two, the activities of the occult. The activities of it. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 and following, here's what the Lord God said to the nation of Israel through His servant Moses. He said, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do." By the way, that's why we need to be separated from the world as Christians. Because if we're not separated from the world as Christians, you know what we're going to do? We're going to learn to act just like the world. And that's when we get into trouble, see. So God said, I don't want you to learn to do what the things that they do. I don't want you to learn the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. That is, don't offer them as a burnt offering to an idol. That's what the worship of Moloch involved. It was actually burning their children in a fire as an offering to this pagan god. God said, don't you get involved in that. Don't cause your children to pass through the fire. Or don't get involved in this. Don't be like those that use divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. God said, don't get involved in any of those kind of things. Now, I want you to notice the practitioners of the occult, letter A. As we look at this verse, notice the practitioners. First of all, there are the idolaters. And again, these are those who offered their children to idols. God said, I don't want you to be like that. Children are a gift from God, Psalm 127 verse 3 says. And to offer a gift that God has given to you to a pagan idol is the most vile and wicked sin that you could imagine. God said, don't you get involved in that. Don't be idolaters. Number two, He said, don't be diviners. Diviners. That's simply those who use the art of gathering information concerning future events by using different objects, whether it's tea leaves or a parrot that they have trained to walk around on the table and pick up a card, and then they look at the card, and from that card they tell you your fortune, using those kinds of things. Those are diviners. God said, don't do that. Don't be involved in that. Number three, observers. Observers. This is one who gathers information about future events by observing the planets, or observing eclipses of the moon, or eclipses of the sun, observing the motions of the clouds, and all those other kinds of things that they are able to observe. And from what they observe, they say, okay, now I can tell you what your future is. You see, God said, don't do that. Don't get involved in that kind of mess. Number four, enchanters. Enchanters. This is one who gathers information concerning future events by, this is kind of gross, but inspecting the entrails of a slain beast. Okay. For example, in Ezekiel 21, verse 21, the king of Babylon wanted to know what was going to happen in the future, and so he inspected a liver that had been taken out of an animal that had been killed. And by looking at that liver, he believed that he would be able to see what was going to come in the future. God said, don't get involved in that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Number five, witches. Witches. Witches is basically, it comes from those who would use drugs or use herbs or perfumes or whatever in order to gain power over the minds of others. Those are witches. God said, don't get involved in that. You don't do that. Number six is charmers. Charmers are those who would use spells or incantations to gain power over others. A lot of TV shows now glorify this kind of thing, where that they actually go through these charms and these incantations that are supposed to produce magical results. See, and the thing you need to understand about television, when you're watching these programs that deal with the occult, you need to understand, folks, Satan does nothing for entertainment value. Everything Satan does is to indoctrinate you and to cause you to begin to think about things in a wrong way. God said, don't you get involved with these who are witches and charmers. Number 7, consulters. Consulters are those who would inquire about future events by actually calling on spirit beings. Sometimes they are called spirit guides in our world today. And they would call on these spirits to give them information that could not be known by mere human agencies. God said, don't be involved in that. Number 8, wizards. Wizards. Wizards are basically the male version of a witch. Okay? Basically the male version of a witch. Witches are normally female, wizards are the male, but they both do the same thing. And then number 9, necromancers. Necromancers are those who seek to gain secret information from those who have died. In other words, they're not just calling up spirits, but they're calling up specific spirits of specific people that perhaps you may know. And they call up, quote unquote, they call up these spirits in order to gain information from those who have died and gone to the spirit world. Now, each of these practitioners, each one of them, all nine of them will seek to draw followers by using a couple of things. And so let me just mention very quickly, letter B, the tools of the occult. The tools of the occult. First of all, there are activities of magic. Activities of magic. Now, I'm not talking about David Copperfield. Okay? There is some magic that is entertainment, and we understand that. It, though it looks mystifying, it looks amazing, once you know the secret, it's very simple. It's just a trick. It's an illusion. And that's not what we're talking about here. I'm talking about the real thing. For example, those who would perform miracles. The magician of Egypt in Exodus chapter 7, when you read the account concerning those magicians, they actually duplicated some of the miracles that Moses did. That was not an illusion. That was not sleight of hand. That was the real deal. And we need to remember, don't ever forget this, just because you see a miracle, that doesn't mean God did it. Satan has the power to do miracles. And there's a lot of people today who are being sucked in to a false system of theology because they saw a miracle and they don't have the sense to realize Satan does miracles. Read the Bible. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 24, Jesus gave the warning. He said, there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they're going to show, notice it, they're false Christ, right? They're not the real Christ. They're false prophets. They're not preachers of the truth. They're false prophets. But here's what he said. He said, they're going to show great signs and wonders. In so much, if it were possible, they will deceive the very elect. See? And so we need to understand that. That's why, folks, we always need to base our faith in the Word of God. We don't base our faith in what our eyes see, the miraculous thing. We base our faith, what does God say? What does God say? And so there are some. They use activities of magic. They actually perform miracles. Or letter B, they will cast spells. They'll cast spells. Games like Dungeons and Dragons, okay? What is that game basically teaching young people to do? Cast spells. The TV show Charmed, right? Well, what is that show teaching people to do? How to cast spells. how to cast spells, and many of the popular cartoons that your kids are watching today. You ought not let them watch them, because those cartoons aren't made for kids. Those cartoons are made for adults, and they're teaching adult themes. They're indoctrinating kids and preparing them to get involved in this thing called the occult. Again, this is not just innocent fun we're talking about here. It's not just innocent fun. Again, Satan is not in the business of entertaining us. He uses entertainment to indoctrinate us and to change the way we think so that our thinking lines up with something totally contrary to the Word of God. Letter C. They will also use activities of magic for gaining protection. Many people today, they wear lucky charms, and I'm not talking about the breakfast cereal. They get these lucky charms, and they'll buy crystals, or they'll buy pyramids and other objects that they believe is going to have some kind of cosmic power that will protect them as they go through their daily lives. And so there's activities of magic. There's also, number two, activities of divination. And this is where they seek to reveal secrets. They do it sometimes through physical objects such as tarot cards or crystal balls or reading the palm, you know. I tried to read mine, but it was an empty book. Astrology, horoscopes, all those kinds of things you see. Many are able to see, and they're able to predict some amazing things. And the reason is simply because the spiritual power that is controlling the person using those objects, you see. That's where it comes from. It's not in the object itself, but it's in the spiritual power controlling the person who is using those objects. So sometimes they use physical objects. Letter B, through spiritual or spirit contacts. I'm talking about demons. Talking about demons. The reality of this can certainly be seen in Acts 16. You remember the young girl there who was demon possessed, and the Bible says she made much money for her masters. You know how she did it? By telling the future. By telling the future. People come all around, they pay money to get this counsel, spiritual advice from this young girl who was controlled by a demon. Controlled by a demon. Now, I want us to notice number three, and I've got to hurry. I'm sorry this is going long, but it's really good, isn't it? Say yes. Okay. number three, the answer. Excuse me. The answer to the occult. Let me just mention a couple of things. The answer to the occult. When we look at all of this, and boy, there's just so much more we could say. We're just not going to take time to do it. But the answer to it is, there's just two things you need to understand. Number one, letter A, God hates it. And that's the first thing you need to understand. All of this occult, while people think it's all fun and games, and it's just, you know, something, you know, you play with and experiment with, and, you know, it's all... No, you need to understand, God hates it. He's not mildly upset about it. He hates it. Look at it in Deuteronomy chapter 18. After listing all those people that we named just a few minutes ago who are involved in the occult, here's what Moses said in verse number 12. For all that do these things, okay? Everybody involved in this, all who do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. You know why God kicked all of those nations out of the land of Israel so that the nation of Israel could come in and have that land? You know what God had against them and caused him to drive them all out so the Jews could come in and have that land of Canaan? It was the occult. That's what it just said, right? This is the reason why God drove them out. Because they were playing the devil's game. God hates it. And He doesn't want His children involved in it. Not only does God hate it, but I want you to notice a second thing. God punishes it. He punishes it. Deuteronomy 8:14, these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Because these two things are true, as the children of Israel today, we should not try to learn about the occult so we can fight against it. That's a great danger that many preachers fall into. And I'll just be honest with you. A lot of preachers, they fall into the trap. They want to explore sin so they can preach on it better. You know. So they can expose it and warn their people about it. So they, instead of studying the Bible, they study sin. See? And that is a very dangerous, a very deadly thing. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Romans 16:19, he said, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. In other words, we need to be wise about God's Word, and when it comes to the things of the world, we need to be simple. That's just a nice way of saying we need to be ignorant. Because the old saying, while it's not found in the Bible, it is certainly true. Curiosity will kill the cat. And when you get curious about sin and you start investigating because you want to see more and more and more and more, well that's really wow. How do they? And you begin investigating and begin looking into sin, you are going down a rat hole that's going to lead to disaster. By the way, that's one of the big dangers of pornography, men and women. You need to stay away from pornography because it never satisfies. It always leaves you with a desire to see something more. A desire to see something more. And because of that desire to see more, instead of focusing on the things of God, we focus on things we ought not even be knowing about. There's a blessedness in being ignorant. Remember the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Adam and Eve, they knew what was good. They didn't know anything about evil until they ate the fruit. And when they ate the fruit, they developed a knowledge they wished they had never had. And the same thing can happen for us. We need to determine that we're not going to play the games, we're not going to watch the TV programs, we're not going to watch the movies, or we're not going to read the books that glorify supernatural things. We're not going to do those things that promote mystical powers, but rather we're going to determine that we're going to be like those Ephesian believers. You know the Ephesian believers after they got saved, you know what they did? Look at this last verse, and I promise we're going to be done. Acts 19:19. Here's what it says. It says, many of them also which used curious arts. You know what that is? That's a cult. They're into these curious arts, you see. They're into the occult. And the Bible says that many of them also which used curious arts. Now notice what it says. They brought their books together and built a library so that they all could share. That's not what it says, is it? No, they brought all their books together and they burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Folks, these were men and women who had invested a lot of money into occultic materials. But there came a day when they had to make a choice. Am I going to follow the occult? Am I going to follow God? Am I going to go down Satan's path, or am I going to go down God's way? And there came a time when they made the choice, and they brought all that stuff, and they said, we're going to get rid of it. And we're going to get rid of it in such a way that it will never tempt us again. We're going to burn it. We're going to totally destroy it. We're going to be done with it. Now, we're living in dangerous times. I want you to understand that tonight, folks. We're living in dangerous times. I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. We are living in dangerous times. We're living in a time, as I mentioned earlier, when the occult is being promoted. It's being promoted in the press. It's being promoted on TV and movies. It's being promoted in such a way that in the nations around the world, the occult is spreading like wildfire. It's spreading like wildfire. And as Christians, we need to recognize that this is the work of our enemy. And we need to realize that the eternal souls of men and women are hanging in the balance. And we need to take a stand, not with it, but we need to take a stand against it. And having done all the stand, we need to stand, therefore, with our loins girt about with that spiritual armor that we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks. Let's pray.